welcome to our services. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you being here. I think I see, is that Hayden back there? Is that, I believe it is, one of the Daniel Boone football players. God bless you. Glad to have you with us today. And many others who are visiting with us, God bless you. Thank you for being here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm beginning another series this morning. Amen. Try to have three series going, one in the Old Testament, a book, and a New Testament book, and a topical series study. And we have the book of Nehemiah going in the Old Testament. Started last Sunday morning with the mountains of the Bible. And that one's up and running, praise the Lord. By the way, I've enjoyed that one already, praise God. And then our New Testament book, we've already preached through 1 Timothy. So I just felt the Lord wanted me just to continue right on in 2 Timothy. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 for our opening message. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the opening phrase in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I preached to you on that subject this morning. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us now, I beg of you. May the will of God be done in this service. If somebody's come to church but never come to Christ, may today be the glorious day when they say yes to you, we pray. We who are saved, draw us close to your side in Jesus' name. Amen. Several weeks ago now, we finished our study on 1 Timothy. Now we begin our study on 2 Timothy. And through this study, it's our desire that many will be born again and God's children will be drawn closer to our Lord in fellowship. Now, as we begin this study, it would be beneficial for us to be made aware of the situation that's at hand. As Paul is writing this letter, he is sitting in what is known as the Mamertine prison in the ancient city of Rome. Now, if we're ready for this, if you wouldn't mind to go ahead and show this morning, this is the place where Paul is when he is writing the book of 2 Timothy. Now I'm leaving this up the entire service. And as far as I'm concerned, I might put it up the whole book that I'm preaching through it. Because when you think about where he's at, it helps the book come a little bit more alive to you. Now, the Word of God is quick and powerful and it's already alive, but it's so good to look at this and just picture him as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't want you to focus on that while I'm preaching, you understand? I asked them, I said, is there any danger of showing this that I would be getting in the way of it? And you know what the obvious answer to that was. What are you laughing at, folks? You know? No doubt about it. Some of y'all will catch it sometime tomorrow. But I want this to be up because I want this just to be vividly in your mind. Now keep in mind, this is an altar that the Roman Catholics have built or something like that. But this is in honor of the Apostle Paul here. This is the prison where he's writing the book of 2 Timothy. Now with that in mind, a gentleman who had been to this place, he literally visited this place, gives some insight about this particular prison. I'll be honest with you, this is one of the longest introductions that I ever have preached from in my life. But I feel like it's so appropriate that I give you these thoughts in the introduction so you understand what's going on in the book. Now this man who visited this place said, and I quote, "What is now remaining of the Mamertine prison is a dungeon in the ground, literally a circular pit about 30 feet in diameter, with a hole at the top a little larger than that of a manhole in the street. That was the place of incarceration for the criminals of the time of the Apostle Paul. That prison today has on top of it a building, and to see the prison, you climb the stairs into the building and you're given a little bit of a tour." Now, I'm reading this man who's been here direct from here. I don't like reading things, you understand, when I preach. but I believe it's just so appropriate. You look through the hole and you can see the pit underneath with its stone floor and stone walls in the shape of a circle. We were then allowed to go down into the pit and found there just a couple of things of interest. First of all, there was an altar. You can see it right here. There was an altar built by some Roman Catholics at some point in history. And then against one of the and then against one section, you can't see it here, of that circular pit, there was a door, a great large door that was able to be pulled up and then dropped back down in place. The guide began to instruct this particular person, given this report concerning the altar. It's not going to make a statement here. And then started speaking about the large door that's able to up, you know, lift up and drop back down in place. And he said that that door was basically there for execution purposes. For instance, it's been said, and probably what you're looking at, see the hole up top right above the altar? This is probably where this, what I'm getting ready to tell you, took place, okay? Not sure, but that does look like a pretty large hole that's going up above it, all right? It's been said this guy is taking a tour of this, and the tour guide is telling him that it was common back in this day to drop prisoners down that hole into this dungeon. Somewhere up to 30 to 35 prisoners would be held in this room that you're looking at. And then in order to make room for the next group of prisoners, I'm not trying to be crude, I'm just trying to show you what situation Paul is in. To make room for the next group of criminals, the door, that large door now, would be open. And running alongside that cell, excuse me, was the city sewage system of Rome. And as the door was pulled up, the cell or dungeon would fill with that sewage and would drown all of these prisoners and then wash them back out. The door would be shut, it would be drained, and ready for another 30 to 35 prisoners to be dropped down that same hole. Now, this man says, and I quote, "It was a moving experience, not only because you could stand there and imagine what went on in that place with sanitation, without light, without any of the comforts that we might imagine to be absolutely necessary for existence. And can you imagine it jammed with 30 bitter, angry criminals awaiting execution?" But what made it so very stunning, I'm reading directly from this man, was that one of the people who has had a greater impact on my life than almost anyone who's ever lived, one of the men who has been my teacher in many ways through the years of my ministry, one of the men whom I've loved beyond other men, spent the last days of his life in that very hole in the ground. His name is the Apostle Paul. He says, "I was moved deep within my heart as I contemplated him in that place, awaiting execution. In a very public display of hatred for Christ, for the Christ he taught and the gospel he preached, he wasn't drowned in sewage, as we know. We remember that he was taken out of this place, and his head was placed on a block and the axe cut it off of his body. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to paint a very vivid picture in your mind. I'm not trying to ruin your appetite. I'm just trying to help you see something here. On top of these awful conditions that you're looking at, now see, that's very lit up right now, but folks, listen, they didn't have chandeliers hanging in there in the Apostle Paul's day. No light. I'm talking about awful conditions. And on top of this, throughout the book, we can see more about the sorrow and sadness of this time in Paul's life. He mentioned in chapter 1, verse 15, that all in Asia Minor had turned away from him. He mentions later on that Luke was beside him and Onesiphorus was ministering to him. But when this man, now get this, when this man should have had people coming to him and embracing him for telling him about Christ, he's lonely. All through this book, Paul is lonely. And he's in the company of criminals with no one around to care for him. In chapter 4 of this book is where he says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." And he sends others, Titus and others, to spread the gospel in different parts. Then he asked Timothy, this is all in this book, he asked Timothy to come and see him and bring Mark with him. In verse number 13, we see how he asked Timothy to bring the cloak or the coat, if you will, to keep warm. He's cold. He's lonely. This mighty soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ has given his life to spreading the gospel. And he's not in that place because of crime. He's in that place because of his testimony for Jesus Christ. And then he tells Timothy, when you bring the cloak, he said, "Bring my books." But you remember what he said? He said, "Especially the parchments." He's saying, don't forget the Bible. Don't forget the Word of God. That breaks my heart. What a sight. Here's a man who spent his life in self-sacrifice trying to deliver the gospel so others might be saved. And yet at the end of his life, he's lonely. What an awful thing. With all this in mind, we've come to this letter known as 2 Timothy. This is his last letter. This is the final words that Paul will ever write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And even though he was cold and without his books, without friends, and expecting to die very soon, his statement in chapter 4, verse 17 sums it up. He says, "The Lord stood with me." Now, as we come to this book, it can be noted how Paul could have chosen to write to any church that he had planted. He could have written to any person that he chose, but instead, he writes his final message. That's the book of 2 Timothy. He writes his final message to one young pastor by the name of Timothy. He realizes he needs to pass the torch to the next generation. I don't know why I'm broken, but I take it from the Lord. He needed to pass the baton to the next runner. He's finished the work the Lord gave him to do. Now he wants the work of God to keep going and not to die with him. Amen. Timothy is his child in the faith. He has a special bond with this young man. It tells you just how much of a bond he had by him writing to him during this time of his departure. This is a beautiful insight into this dear man of God's heart. Get this. He didn't write to blast the people who had deserted him. You read throughout this book and you see he said, "He's deserted me. They've turned their back from me. They've left me. They've gone from me. I'm all alone." And yet instead of writing this letter and blasting those people, he didn't do that. He didn't write a letter of self-pity. You know what he wrote? He wrote a letter to have the work of God carried on in the life of Timothy. Amen. He has a desire in his heart. Can't you see him? Can you not see him sitting here realizing that his days are numbered? He's cold, he's freezing, he's lonely. And yet, when so many of us would complain and say this, he says, "Timothy, take the gospel and be faithful to it and give it out to other people." What a sight. What a sight you see. This dear man of God. Let me tell you something about a man of God, a true man of God. He does not want God's work to die when he does. He wants it to go on and wants it to go on and wants it to go on. He has a desire to pass this baton to the next generation of God's men. And in the same way, let us understand that the work of God is bigger than any one of us. We're not to build the work of God around ourselves. We are simply to, right here, we are simply to finish what the Lord has given us to do in our life and then train others so that they can pass it on to others. This is the scene we have in this glorious book. The scene of this dear soldier of the cross nearing the end of his life. He's in this cell. Who knows how many prisoners are in there with him? He's cold. He's lonely. He's saying, "Timothy, they've deserted me. They've gone this way. Demas has gone that way. Hymenaeus has gone that way." But you understand that even though he's lonely, he says later on in the book, he says, "I sent Titus and I sent them over there." In other words, he could have kept those men there to keep him company. But he said, "There's something bigger than me. I don't care if I'm lonely per se, but I do care about people dying without Jesus Christ." And instead of keeping them there to say, "Won't you talk to me? Won't you please me? Why don't you just stand here and make my last days normal?" No, he says, "Hey, Titus, grab your Bible. Go up there and tell them about Jesus Christ." I'm going to tell you something. What a man. What a man. What a man of God. This is the setting of the book of 2 Timothy. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. As we preach through this book, I hope this is cemented firmly in your minds and hearts where he's at. He knows he's about to die. And yet he makes these statements. Now, there's my introduction. I've got 5 points. Not going to get them all this morning. God willing, I'll continue with this evening. But as we come to this, we have come to the very opening phrase of this book. And this phrase just kind of jumped off the page at me. It's the phrase Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Paul in these opening verses. He's writing to Timothy. He turns his attention to Timothy. We'll deal with all that as we travel through this book. But the first thing that's brought to our attention is who's writing it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There's several things about him that I want you to notice. Number one, the first thing we're going to look at this morning is his apostleship. What summarizes his apostleship? What is an apostle? All these kind of things. Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the word apostle simply means a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say a couple of things about his apostleship. Let me give you two things under this. First of all, he said it's by the will of God. He said it's by the will of God. Now notice it, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now this goes to show that Paul wanted Timothy to know that what he was doing was what he was called by God to do. In other words, he wasn't a mama called preacher. He wasn't a daddy called preacher. He was a God called messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was simply giving his life to do the will of God. You may tell you why he could sit right here and pen the words of 2 Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. You may tell you why? Because he knew that even when he was on the mountaintop and in the valley, he knew he was doing the will of God for his life. I'm going to tell you something. We need to understand something today. And what we need to understand is this. Give our lives to do the will of God. Now here's what I mean. Life is not about doing our own thing. Life is about doing what God wants us to do. Somebody say amen right there. Now I'm going to tell you something. 1 John 2:17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, in a world where most people, even Christians, are going their own way and doing their own thing, let us be one of God's children who is consumed with the will of God for our life. You know, it's time that we understand that life is not about me. It's time you understand life's not about you. When you think about it, the decisions you make, why do you make them? Because of what's best for you or because of what he wants you to do? Now, you know I know what I'm talking about right here, folks. What I'm saying is this. If you want your life to be everything God wants it to be, follow orders from headquarters. Amen. Do what God wants you to do. Obey the will of God in your life. Now I'm going to tell you something. The reason I'm preaching, the reason I'm pastoring this church, the reason that I'm here today is because this is the will of God for my life. That's it. And let me say something to you. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always mountaintop experiences. It's not always go home and say, "Woo, I felt great today." Every now and then you go home and say, "What in the world am I doing? That was the worst message that's ever come out of my mouth." And I'll tell you, God bless those people for just enduring me today. I don't care who you are, you get weary in what you do. Am I right or wrong? You better know you're in the will of God. Paul, as he's sitting right there, he knew one thing, and he opened the book with it. He said, "Timothy, this is Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, and here's the first thing I want you to know about it. It's by the will of God. It's God's will for my life." Secondly, under this, we're noticing his apostleship today. Secondly, he said it's according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what in the world is he talking about here? Paul was sharing how the message he was given to spread was the promise of life. And he identifies the only place that comes from. He said it's in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying this. He wanted Timothy to know that he was called by God to make salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ known to the world. The message of life being only found in Jesus Christ. He's saying this. He's saying, Paul, an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, it's God's will for my life, according to the promise of life. That life that the world's looking for, that life that the world is searching for, that life that people are even dying for, that life that people are begging for, that life is according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. He's saying, I have been called by God to deliver a message, and that message is, there is the promise of life, but it's only found in Christ Jesus. That's the same message I have, and that's the same message you have. And here's the point. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word of God says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, comma, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And may I say something to you? God has made it to where eternal life is found in one person, and that is the lovely Lord Jesus. Amen. If you're not saved today, there's hope for you. Life is still alive. Amen. He was dead, he was buried, and 3 days later, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he says, behold, I am alive forevermore. And he says, I am life, and I will give you life if you will trust me as your Savior. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, can I recommend him to you? He's a wonderful Savior. He is life. He's the only life of God. He is eternal life. So let me just make a plug here. I know what you've been searching for. It's not a what, it's a who. His name is Jesus Christ. But on the flip side, who's writing the book, humanly speaking? Paul. We know it's the Word of God. God's Spirit's inspiring. We know it's God's Word, but he uses the human instrument by the name of Paul. So let me apply it the way Paul meant it. Paul is saying, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the life, the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. If you're saved today, you are only saved because Jesus Christ saved you. You're not saved by your good works. You're not saved by baptism, living a good life. You're saved by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. He died for your sin. And may I say this to you? He loves you today, but he also loves the world. And he wants those who have the promise of life in them to take it to a world that doesn't. And I wonder, are you doing your duty? Am I doing mine? Somebody says, wait a minute, that scares me to do that. Wait a minute, I can't tell somebody about the Lord. Wait a minute, I'm not qualified. If you say you're not qualified, you don't understand Bible salvation. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And what that means is that if He's living inside of you, He is your qualification. Bless your heart. And that's a good southern phrase, isn't it? Bless your heart. And all I'm saying to you is this. God is letting us know through this mighty soldier of the cross, He's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to have His head severed from His body. He's cold. He's lonely. But the first thing He wanted Timothy to know is that he was in the middle of God's will, and His message was getting the promise of life out around the world.
Amen.
Powerful. That's powerful, folks. Honestly, that challenges me right there. How many of us say, well, I just don't have time? Well, I tell you one thing. I got that football game coming on, and God understands me getting my Lay's chips and my Diet Coke and double cheeseburger and all these kind of things, but make sure it's a Diet Coke, please, and all these kind of things. And I'm telling you right here, God understands that. I've got to have me time. I've got to have some me time. Really? By the way, I've heard that. You know how I respond? Every time you've got is God's time, folks. There is no time without God. God has given you time. And the reason He gives you time is so you can get the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. This is His apostleship. And there's a second thing about Him. I didn't realize I'd get this far, but there's a second thing about Him here. And that is this. I may only get to the first point under this. We notice His apostleship. Secondly, we notice His affection. Notice the language in verse number 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. There is no doubt that Paul was a man's man. Would you agree with that? He was a man's man. He was one who stood the test of time and the test of trials. However, at this time, he's lonely. And in these verses, we see his affection for his young son in the faith. What I'm trying to say is that he truly cared for Timothy. He really did. He wasn't trying to use Timothy to get something done. He was interested in Timothy himself. Because he knew if Timothy was right with God, the message would be given through him. And he was interested in the ministry God had called him to. You know, there's a couple of ways that we see his affection come out for Timothy. We see it in his love for him, and secondly, his longing for him. Now, I may only get to the love part here, but this is something that if this is as far as I get, it's as far as I get. Paul identifies Timothy in verse number 2 as his dearly beloved son. That word beloved is agape love. It's agape love. It's the same love Christ has for you. The same type. The kind of love that will die for you. You follow me? Get this. This goes to show that Paul loved Timothy with a great love. See, Paul was not one who did not care about the people he ministered to. He truly cared. Now get this. He truly cared for Timothy. And is following the Lord Jesus Christ. This is also seen in his greeting Timothy by saying grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He wanted Timothy to have everything the Lord could give him. Now folks, what a great lesson we can all learn right here from. In the same way we can learn a lesson here. That God wants us to love one another as He has loved us. And folks, we should be a Christian who truly cares about the people the Lord puts in our lives to influence for Him. By the way, it shows when you do and it shows when you don't. Here's the point I'm trying to make here. The point I'm trying to make here is this. Every one of us have people in our life that God has placed in our life to influence. It could be a family member, it could be a mate, it could be a child, it could be a grandchild, it could be on down the line, it could be a co-worker, a teammate, it could be, I don't know. But everybody has somebody that we can influence for God. Now, don't you think Paul had an influence on Timothy? Sure he did. It's his son in the faith. But here's the point. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to know something before I give you anything else. I've spoken about myself. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the way, Timothy, it's God's will where I'm at right now. And my message is the promise of life which is found in Christ Jesus. But he said, I want you to know something, Timothy. I love you. I love you. By the way, he's got a lot of instructions for Timothy, but he did not give him one instruction until he told him he loved him. Do you understand people will take a lot from you if they know you love them? They will. Let me ask you a question. Do you really care about the people in your life? Do you really love the people God has put in your life? These precious bus captains, these Sunday school teachers, this staff, the church members, the visitors, just people who are coming regularly. Let me tell you something. Every time I stand in this pulpit, whether you realize it or not, I'm influencing you. It's not that you're listening. I hope you are. But this is a place of influence. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, to your face, you don't have to believe it. But God has put a love in my heart for you. There's something about a dear man of God who's burdened like Paul is burdened to make sure the work is carried on. But the first thing he wanted this young man to know is, Timothy, be assured of one thing. I love you, son. That's a blessing. And so I want you to know something. I care about you. That's missing today. You know what we need to do at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? I believe we have a lot of it here. I really do. But I don't think a church can ever have too much. We need to love on each other. Amen. Learn to love on one another. Learn to care for each other. Paul has an affection for this young man. It's seen in his love for him. John 13:34, a new commandment Jesus said, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. We notice here, we're looking at Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, his apostleship. We're right now under his affection. He cares about this young man. We see it because he loves him. We see it, number two, because he's longing for him. Verse number four, look at it. He said, Timothy, know something. I am greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul tells Timothy that he's greatly desiring to see him. You know what these words, greatly desiring, mean? It means an intense longing or craving for. In other words, Paul is yearning in his spirit to see Timothy one more time before his death. He goes on to say how he remembers his tears. This is probably in a reference to the last time they had seen each other and Paul was taken from him, whatever. Timothy, more than likely, was probably weeping. And Paul said, I remember your tears, Timothy. And then he tells him that his joy would be full if he sees him again. Can you not hear the heart of this dear man? He's lonely. He's cold. He feels forsaken by man. Not God, but by man. And he says, Timothy, I want you to know something. In this deep, dark dungeon, I want you to know there's a man down here who loves you, boy. He said, I want you to know there's a man down here who's longing to see you, son. I want to see you bad. He said, before I die, do your diligence to come. I just want to let my eyes rest upon your face one more time. Now you say, Jody, how are you going to apply that? Let me apply it this way. We learn here not to take for granted time that we have with others. Here's this dear man of God separated from his young son in the faith. Here Paul is getting ready to die and Timothy's reading his letter. Can you imagine Timothy reading those words for the first time? Timothy's made aware that Paul is nearing the end. And this works both ways. Timothy is at the point to where he is not to take for granted Paul. He's not going to have him much longer. You follow me where I'm going with this? And yet Paul is making sure that Timothy knows, I'm not taking you for granted, son. I want to see you again. You know, my mind goes back to the World Trade Centers, the airplanes that were crashing that awful day. Remember the report? I'm not trying to dig up bones and stuff like that, but please don't misunderstand my purpose. But I remember hearing reports about people who were on the plane where the Americans tried to take it over and it ended up crashing in the open field. You remember that? Remember the man who called his wife? He's the one that said, let's roll. Remember? But the reason he called his wife was just to say, I love you. This may be it. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying this. Don't take each other for granted. You're not going to have them forever. They could be gone today. This dear man of God, he's still teaching us, isn't he? He's still training us, sitting in that prison cell. He's saying, I want you all to know something, Timothy. I'm an apostle by the will of God. I am in the middle of God's will for my life. And my message is to get the gospel around the world. But before I tell you and encourage you and try to strengthen you from sitting right here, I want you to know I am lonely. But there's a man down here who loves you, boy. And I'm longing so hard and I'm craving so much just to see you one more time. Shame on us for taking others for granted. Shame on us. Shame on us. Shame on us. May God take these opening thoughts of this book and take the sword of the Spirit, thrust it in every one of us, and say, there's what you need to do. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Your mercy in our lives. Thank you for the sweet presence of your Spirit today. And I pray that you help me to draw the net here in a way that pleases you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play for a song. We ask you just to stay with us just for a moment, unless it's an emergency. Verse number 5, Paul says, Timothy, I see the unfeigned faith that's in you. That word unfeigned means genuine. It means without hypocrisy. And I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Do you have the promise of life living inside of you? Trusted Christ and Christ alone. Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Is there somebody here today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Or say, Jody, would you pray for me? I don't know if I have the promise of life. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is life. I don't know if he's living in me or not. Is there somebody here? somebody here today, say, Joni, would you pray for me? I need to be sure I'm saved. I need to be sure I'm saved. And please understand, if you raise your hand, what you're doing is simply identifying yourself so we know how to proceed with the invitation. Please don't think I'm going to call your name or draw attention to you. I'm not going to do that. I just need to know how to proceed. Is there anybody at all? You say, Joni, pray for me. I want to know that I'm born again, that I've got unfeigned faith, that I have Jesus Christ living inside. If you don't know that today, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. We're looking. If you know that, that's a wonderful thing. If everybody here today knows Jesus Christ, listen, I'm not sad about that. I'm glad for that. We just want to give you an opportunity, if you're not sure, to let us help you. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Anybody at all? Would you just slip your hand up and write back down? I'm not going to draw attention to you. I promise you that. I just need to know who you are. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. Are you in the will of God for your life? Folks, listen to me, please. There's prisons in every one of our lives. Maybe not a physical one, but surely a spiritual one. I'm talking about times that you don't choose to be in that place. You may be sitting in one today. You better know you're in God's will. Are you actively giving the gospel to others? By the way, you can help us with our outreach ministry. There's a Striving Together outreach ministry where there's something on that ministry, in that ministry, that you can do, you can get involved in. Interested in that, there's cards out in the back in the lobby, the Striving Together box. If you sign that and say, I'm interested in that, you check that ministry, you're not signing up to do that ministry. You're just simply saying, I'm interested in learning more about it. Maybe God's speaking to you about the Apostle Paul being so burdened, even while he's sitting in that prison, being so burdened about getting the promise of life to others. Maybe God's speaking to you about that. Or maybe today, God is speaking to you about your affection. Speaking to you about not taking somebody for granted. Speaking to you about truly loving somebody that God has placed in your life. I don't know how God's speaking to you, but I know this, I know He's speaking. I just hope you're sensitive enough to listen. If God is speaking to you, I'm going to have an invitation in just a moment. I hope you'll come. Some of you may need to bring your wife, bring your child, bring a coworker, some of you just need to come yourself and say, God, I've been taking that person for granted. Help me not do it anymore. Some of you need to come and say, God, make me the witness that you want me to be. Help me to be consumed with giving the promise of life to others. Whatever it is, God is speaking to you about. Would you come? Maybe somebody lost and didn't raise their hand, but you know in your heart that you're lost. When others come, why don't you come? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Help us now to respond in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing as soon as he says the first word. If God is speaking to you, would you leave? By the way, if you're a Christian and God is speaking to you, please respond. One reason you ought to do that is because there may be lost people here. Who's waiting on somebody to go first. So if God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, be the first. You step out of your place and you come as he sings. Come on now, come on.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting.
Still time for you. And I realize that when people do not come, that doesn't mean that God's not speaking. But I hope that the Lord is speaking to you. And I hope you'll listen. May God help you. Brother Gary sings the next verse. There's still time for you. You come on now as he sings.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
I know the picture's down, but I want you to keep that picture in your mind. I challenge you to go home and read through the book of 2 Timothy. It's not very long. With these three series going, I'm not sure when I'll get back to the next message. God willing, I'm going to conclude this message tonight. Hope you'll be back to hear the remaining 3 points of this Apostle Paul's life. There's three more of them. Hope you'll come hear it. I want to challenge you. I believe the Lord knew what he was doing when he had the Apostle Paul pen these words from this prison, don't you? He knew what he was doing. What a challenge it is to us. And a blessing. And I want anybody who's not saved to understand something. God's not going to force himself on you. But he loves you today. Anybody who's not saved, excuse me, is a fool not to trust Jesus Christ. I say that with a lot of love in my heart. And we who are saved, don't take others for granted. And help others whom God placed in your influence. Help them and keep your mind on the will of God and giving the gospel to others. That's how far we've gotten so far. And there's much, much, much more to come in 2 Timothy. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. I appreciate you being here. Great crowd today. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Let me remind the visitors, if this is your first time and you have this card filled out, if you wouldn't mind, whenever you leave, there's a welcome center out in the lobby. If you'll just take this to the welcome center and drop it off, got a special gift for you just for saying thank you for being here. Please remember to be in your place tonight at 6:30. There's a prayer meeting. Anybody wants to come in the church, in the chapel, at 6:10. If you'd like to come for prayer, I'll meet you there. Okay? Please shake each other's hands as you leave. Greet each other. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and you can be dismissed.